So this morning, you know, I'm becoming more and more aware of the fact that God wants us to understand that serving Him is not something fluffy and way out there. It's not a legend, it's not a story, it's reality. And therefore, God's just put this on my heart to speak about legal ground. And I heard this saying that says, when you're in Rome, you do what the Romans do. Well, that's a world thing. You expected to do it. When you're a teenager, you expected to do what teenagers do. And you know, this is just something that just stirred my heart. And I just realized, you know, this is not true. This is not reality. Yes, we do the rules of a place when we go there, but we don't have to be just like the Romans are. We can be who we should be, heavenly citizens. Yes, we are on earth. Our feet are here, but our heads may be in heaven. Our hearts may be there. We can walk a walk of constant heaven. And so I've just been looking at earthly things. You know, if you look at a country and you look at a school and you look at a family, there are certain things that should be in place for you to be there on legal ground. And the first thing is you should have citizenship at least. Nobody can come into our country without having citizenship or at least a visa or a passport. Most of us have birthright to be in this country. We were born here. So we are South Africans and we can be here. When you're born in England, you become a British citizen. My daughter is so lucky, she has a citizenship in South Africa because she's born here. But she's been in England for 15 years, so she's also a British citizen. So she's sitting on two chairs. Difficult. Because her work is there, but her heart is here. So that's just not a nice place to be. And therefore this morning I want to warn you, don't sit on two chairs. Don't be a Christian when it's Sunday, but be like the Romans are during the week. We should be Christians because we're Christians. And then the next thing is, if you are want to be part of a country or a school or whatever, you must have admission. You must be allowed to go in there. And therefore, you've got to have certain grades. I mean, if you go to high school, you must have a grade 7 certificate. Or when you go to university, you must at least have matric. So, yes, we do need admission. And then also, there are laws in every country, in every family. Yes, and things like uniform and things like road safety and things like organizational laws that we need to, if we don't do it, there's going to be chaos. If we don't have moral laws, every country at least have some moral laws. Doesn't look like it anymore. Because this morning I just saw my sister-in-law brought the newspaper in there. And the photos that I saw in that newspaper, I thought, how could a woman exploit her body like that? But how could a newspaper publish it? This is the world we're living in. This is reality. And therefore, I just thought, you know, what happened to our moral laws? But we could have moral laws for ourselves. So let's keep those laws and let's keep us close to that. Yes, and then if you illegally enter a country, we know there's going to be consequences. Or your behavior is not according to the laws of this country, there's going to be consequences. You will be prosecuted, for sure, even if it takes a few years. Yeah. And also, there will be consequences. You know, if I jump off a high cliff and I break my leg, for years after that, I will still have pain in that leg. When I was a little girl, I used to think it was fun to climb on the stable wall and climb up on the roof and then jump down on the other side, and it was quite high. Today, I'm struggling with a back. Consequence. I've done something that hurt my back so badly when I was a little girl, and now I'm suffering the consequences. So, see, everything you do will have consequences, and then also there will be chaos. Listen, I've seen families where the mother is not in place, and I've seen the chaos in the children. I've been teaching for 45 years, so I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. We lived in a hostel for 20 years. I've seen children in chaos because of a mother that's not in her place and a father that's not a leader. And this morning, I want to say to every father in this house, God has called you to be a king. God has called you to be a leader, to keep your family from chaos. Are you leading or are you allowing your wife to lead? Are you allowing your children to rule your house or are you the leader? I'm not talking about being bossy and nasty and hurtful. Are you leading the way Jesus did? Are you leading the way God says you should love your wife in spite of who she is and in spite of the way she sometimes treats you? This morning I want to ask the husband, stand up please. We need you to stand. This world is in chaos because our men is not fathers standing up anymore. And mothers, let's stay in our position that God has put us. Then the next thing is, I want to see if all these things that I've mentioned now is in the world. I want to know, why do we then want to do things my way when it concerns the kingdom of God? Then I want to say, now why is God allowing all this chaos? Why is God allowing people to hurt other people? Why is God not helping me when I'm in trouble? How many times have you consecrated your life to God? Are you serving Him from the depth of your heart? Are you worshiping Him day and night? Are you living in His presence? How dare you then question Him if you don't do that? God is not there to be our sugar daddy. God is there because He loves you. Like we've been singing this morning, He loves us and He wants to take care of us. But God did not bring hurt and disaster and chaos into this world. He never did that. We are responsible for what's happening in our world. We are the people who bring chaos in here. Then the next thing is, I just want to talk about for legal ground as far as the kingdom of God's concerned, and legal ground as far as this darkness is concerned, the evil one. And the first thing is, I want to look at the citizenship. What is the things, the criteria for citizenship? Firstly, to be citizens, now we all know that is to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And there is no other way. People can tell you, yes, we're all worshiping the same God. Listen here, we are not. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not part of His kingdom. You may be as good and as obedient to the worldly laws as you want. You can be as nice and as kind and as you can do lots of good things. You can only do good things. But if you did not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will not become a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's reality. That's what the Word of God says. Then the next thing is, I just want to tell you, if you do not allow Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, you are part of the kingdom of the evil one. You can't worship. Say, oh, but oh, I'm going to worship Buddha, or I'm going to worship Muhammad, or yeah, so I'll be fine. No. There's only two, and that's God and Satan. So if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the kingdom of the evil one. And you have opened a door for him. You've given Satan legal ground to rule your life, to do with you whatever he wants. You say to him, you can do with me what you like. You know, and what's so terrible is that if people reject Jesus, they don't always become like crazy and mad and demonic, but you know, their hearts become hardened. And it's difficult for them to hear the word of God. And now I just want to encourage you this morning. I'm just falling in here quickly. You know, sometimes you have a relative or a friend that you are praying for many years, and you just don't know, when is this person going to accept Jesus Christ? It feels like they just can't, or you can't break through to them. I want to tell you something. In Kleinmond, we have a river running into the sea, but there's a mont, but it's closed up in summer. Now, when it's winter time, everybody in Kleinmond goes to the river every morning, and we check how high is this lagoon now rising up to break through, because it's very important for the lagoon to break through naturally. So yes, we put little sticks in the sand, and tomorrow morning we come and we see that it rises a little bit higher. And for this whole week, you should have seen us old people, the oldies. Some of them can hardly walk, but we're there at the lagoon, and we put our sticks in and we check. And you know, last year it broke through after 4 years. It never broke through. And this year it's now brimming. And it's only 2 meters of sand between the sea and the lagoon. And the water's just coming. And on Friday, before we came, we quickly went to check, is it high enough now? When we're going back this evening, we're going to check again, and we are expecting the river to break through. And you know what God says to you this morning? You are praying for this person for maybe many years. Don't stop. The river is on the verge of breaking through. If you stop, you know, if the rain stops now, the lagoon will go down again and the river won't break through. But if it keeps on raining, like it's raining now today and yesterday, then I'm sure the river's broken through by this evening. And the same with your prayers. If you don't keep on until the very last minute, maybe that river will never break through. So keep on praying. I just want to, I don't know if there's somebody that, or maybe lots of you, I hope, praying for somebody to get through. God says the river is on its verge of breaking through. Then I just want to say that, you know, if you allow Satan to rule over your life, you must know that he will do things that's quite awkward, things that you think, yeah, but I don't really want to do it, but before I know, I'm doing it. And this is the difficult situation that I want to explain to you this morning about legal ground. The next thing is, you must have admission. And I believe that admission in heaven is honoring God, not good works. Not being a good Christian, not behaving very well, but honor the great I am. You know, I think God's heart just melts. This was so great about David. You know, David was, I'm talking King David, not David here in the church. King David was, you know, he was a great king. The Bible says he was according to God's heart. God loved him. God put him on the throne when he was just a teenager. But you know what? David did lots of wrong things. How many of the Psalms you'll see where David comes before God and he cries out, God, I've done wrong again. But God never stopped believing in David because David knew how to honor God. David worshiped God without end. Even in his times of big trouble, David knew how to worship. And this is one of the things that God says is going to be restored in the end times. And I believe it's already busy restoring, and that is worship. I believe that God is using worship in these days to honor God, to give God legal ground. We need to honor him. We need to worship him because that's what makes God go. Same with Moses. I want to read you this song that Moses, just a part of it in Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 to 4. I just picked out some lines from it. I didn't write down everything. For I ascribe greatness to our God. I mean, when Moses wrote this, he sometimes had, I mean, to walk in the wilderness at his age and lead a people that's so stubborn and moaning and, you know, I don't think it was very nice to be their leader. And Moses says, God, I want to ascribe greatness unto you. You are the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of righteousness. Yes, Moses knew what was righteousness. Moses knew what was it to fear God. You know, and I also feel in these days that we've so becoming aware of God's love that we forget about his righteousness. The fear of God. Do we still have the fear of God in our lives? When we kneel down and we worship him, are we still experiencing that awesome fear? Not fear being scared. Fear of his greatness. When my husband was very sick, he says one night, he just became so aware of God's how close God was to him. Although he was unconscious, he says that he was just walking in this home of this room of light, and he says the grace that was there. He was just experiencing this grace. And when today, when he talks about it still, then I can see that the fear of God was there. And he experienced it. And I feel this is what we also need to experience in these days, this the righteousness of God. Because if we don't, if we mock God, we're giving Satan legal ground. We're not honoring our God for who he is. And Satan comes in, you know, because Satan is so cunning. I realize in the last 2 years that God has really been walking with me in this path of closeness to him, of sitting at his feet. I realize that, you know, Satan is becoming more cunning. The closer you walk with God, the more cunning he is, the more quietly he slips in with pride, with things like that. And therefore we need to really be careful, because if we allow pride in our lives, I've seen great preachers, falling before Satan because of pride, because of allowing pride to make them build their own kingdoms. People, we need to be so careful. And that's why, as women, you know, I'm not propaganding women to be slaves. This is not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if we are allowing pride in our lives, I must have this. Why is my husband not doing this for me? Why is that not? Pride comes in and Satan rules. You're giving Satan legal ground. Pride is one of the things that he does that with. Yes, so we need to be very careful. And rejection. If we reject the love of Jesus, if we reject his trust that he has, that he wants us to have in him, if we don't trust him, we are giving Satan legal ground to work in our lives. Then the next thing is the laws. There is laws in the kingdom of God. There are. The God is, you know, to God, there's such a great thing about obedience to his laws. He says to I think it was Saul, when Saul didn't said yes, but he's bringing a sacrifice, so he sacrificed before the time when he should have waited for Samuel to do the sacrifice. Then God says, but Saul, obedience to me is more important than sacrifice. If you want to sacrifice your life, but you don't want to be obedient to God, you are not sacrificing. God's put a great reward on obedience. And I think that's what Moses and David, because of their obedience, even though they made mistakes, they were obedient to God. Now, in Joshua 1, verse 5 to 9, it was just to me so amazing that Joshua was just consecrating his life to God, and God was just talking to him, and he says, just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. Be strong and courageous. Be careful, listen to this, be careful to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success. Our success lies in our obedience to God's call. And you know, sometimes God makes you do funny things. He tells you to do things that you think, oh my goodness, this is really weird. I told you this before, the woman that I was counseling, and God says, put her on your lap. And I said, Lord, this is a grown-up woman, I mean. Put her on my lap. And she will be embarrassed. And you know what? I thought, okay, if I make a mistake and I didn't hear God properly, God must just deal with it. But I'm going to now do what he says. And I said to her, I think God says you must sit on my lap. And the next moment, she immediately got up as if she was so excited waiting for me to say it. And then she just started melting before God. And then I realized sometimes God makes us do funny things. Don't think, oh, it's just my, try it, maybe it is from God. So obedience to God is very important. Then I just want us to look at the fact that God is the only God. And then also that we need to meditate on him. But please, people, not on the meditation way the world does it. That cleaning yourself and empty yourself, and that's from Satan himself, because then he can just walk in. But meditating on God and his word, that is important for us to have him in our lives. And this is the first commandment that God's given us. God and God alone. He is the one that we should serve. We know that. Then the next one is idols. I just want to ponder a little bit on idols. You know, when we speak about idols, it's not only bowing down before an image, but it's also things like occultic things, occultic games that we play could become idols in our lives. Things like oaths that we take. We take an oath like the Masonic oath. There could be different oaths that you've taken. You could say, I will never get married. You speak it over your own life. Words are powerful. I will never do that. You know, when we were young, my husband and I said, we never want to be dependent on our children when we are old. We want to do our own thing. We're going to save enough money and we're going to... Ha, ha, ha. We made an oath and God's kept us to it. And you know what? Many times we said, oh, we will not treat our children. We will never treat our children like that. The very thing happened to us. Never say the word never. Be careful. It's an oath that you're taking over your own life. Don't speak negative things over your own life. Then the next thing is curses that's been called over your life. Go to God every day and ask Him, Lord God, please, if somebody spoke a curse over my life, will you show me and will you help me to get rid of it? We'll speak of that later. And then there's another thing, you know, I've often heard Christians pray this prayer. Lord, I release a spirit of love. There's only one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. Don't release all kinds of spirits. Be careful. They're dangerous. You're giving Satan legal ground. When you call any spirit, you call the spirit of the Most High God. And He is love. He is power. He is the great I am. He is the ruler of the universe. He is all powerful. That's the only spirit that we call and pray over people. Please, people, it's dangerous. Don't pray any other spirit over people. And if you did, ask God to forgive you and release this Holy Spirit over people's lives. Then the next thing is all kinds of you know, I've watched television and all these nice programs for kids. Have you noticed the faces of those, some of those images that they use in the cartoons? Has it never worried you? Have you seen the demonic things that children look at? And we call it the children's programs. Our children are being prepared by this world for the demonic kingdom. And we allow them to sit at the television and watch those programs. Parents, we must be more careful of what we allow our children to watch. Sometimes we use the television as a caretaker of our children. We are allowing, we are giving Satan legal ground in our children's lives at this age. And then we can't understand when they become teenagers and they do funny things. We've allowed them in our own homes to watch those things. Please, people, be careful of what you allow children to watch. I know if you are a real Christian and you really have the Spirit of God in you, you will start feeling uncomfortable when you watch those things. I mean, look at those horrible faces. What's good about that? So please, those are all idols that we allow our kids to go into and allow. And we saying to Satan, you're welcome in my house. How many times have you watched late at night when the children's asleep? You watch films that kids may not see. If a kid may not see a film, you may not see it. If you look at free sex, you are giving Satan legal ground in your life. I'm telling you this morning, it's reality. We watch those things, and don't tell me you don't think about it again later on. And surely enough, if you don't get work and clean it out of your mind immediately and plead the blood of Jesus over you, that thing will come back. But it will become worse. I've listened to a tape of a murderer in America. He killed more than 30 women and abused them sexually. A pastor went to him just before he was electrified in an electric chair, died in an electric chair. He went to him and he started ministering to him. And this guy started speaking to him, and this guy said, please make a tape of what I'm going to say now and warn people. He says, you know where it started? He looked at magazines his father was hiding under the bed. He found these magazines, sexual magazines. He paged through it. He called some of his friends, and they were having a ball looking at these magazines. At school, parents were bringing old magazines for the school to sell and to use, and they went and they found all these sexual magazines in those boxes, and they paged through it quietly behind. They knew that this was wrong, and they were hiding while they were watching it or looking at the pictures. Eventually, he started looking at pornography, and then he became a murderer. Because he hated himself. And so he rejected that hatred onto women because they were the ones who caused him to sin. Can you see how dangerous it is? And I want to speak to our women. How are we presenting ourselves in public? How are we dressing? Poor men. Poor men. We are causing. I've spoken to young teenagers and they said, yes, but why was we always, why must we show our bodies? What's so great about that? I'm just warning you, you are giving Satan legal ground in your life. People, we are living in the end times and God says we must become holier. Because the world will become worse. Walking in the laws of the evil one. And then the next thing is God says we must, his name is holy. And you know, we sit maybe at a party or at a braai, and we sit with friends and we hear somebody swearing and using God's name in vain nonstop, and we do nothing. You know, I heard somebody saying one day, oh, when this person was swearing, he said, oh, come, let's close our eyes and pray. I see you call upon the name of my God, and that means we must pray to him. And this guy stopped swearing immediately. My cousin used to swear, and a friend of his said, you know, if I could get R2 for every swear word you use, I'll be a rich man. So they decided, okay, they put a little tin on the table that evening at the braai, and they said to him, okay, every time you swear, you must put money in this tin. And that made him think. And that made him stop swearing. So, yes, we don't have to go down on people, but we can just quietly tell people, you know, I love Jesus, and I don't want you to use his name like that. But let's start propagating God's holy name. Let's show the world that we are respecting our God. Then the next thing is to keep the Sabbath day. You know what? That was a law that God put in for us. Because God knew the bodies that we have will not last if we are going to work nonstop and we don't give it rest. So God made the seventh day for us to rest our bodies, to give it just that bit of relaxation, just to, after all the tension of the week. He's given us this day. So let's use it, but also let's use it to fill our spirit again. That's why we have church on Sunday, so that we can fill up for the rest of the week, so that we can get together and just, you know, it was so great for me this morning to worship because we cannot always go to church. Our church is in Amana, so we've got to travel there, but it's hard for him to always be ready to go. And sometimes, and so we can't often go. And I miss the worship. I miss being with other fellow Christians and worshiping. But God has his way to help me with that. So, yeah, don't worry. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm fine. God is really giving me times of worship that's amazing. But it's great to be with other Christians. So use your time to celebrate with other Christians. Then the next thing is, yes, I want, you know, if we neglect Sundays, if we neglect coming to church, if we neglect... And I just want to speak about the Bible school too. You know, there is one of the courses I know is setting the captives free. This whole course is about how to get rid of Satan's claws getting onto you. So use the opportunity. Use it. You have it. You use it. Don't wait, and make sure that you have all these things in place, because if you don't, you're going to become barren, and Satan will take over, and he will teach you other things, because God says we must renew our minds, and we can only renew our mind by the Word of God. Then the next thing is honor your father and mother. But I actually want to put something with it. Honor your father and mother and all authority. Because if you do not, what did Daniel do when he was captured in Babylon? Daniel obeyed the laws of that country because he was in that country. Because Daniel knew you respect authority. But when he was asked to do something against God, Daniel said, I cannot do that. So what it means is, I am not obeying this country's rule. This rule says I must worship the king. I cannot do that because I belong to the Most High God. So now how am I going to obey the rules of this country? So I must go and take the punishment. That's why Daniel was willing to go to the lion's den, because he knew he was disobeying the laws of this country, and he'd rather die in a lion's den than disobey the God of heaven. And so, yes, this is to me very important, that we, if I go to work and my boss expects something of me, I do it. But today, it's so funny. I hear people moaning about their bosses. And when I was teaching, some of the young teachers come and say, why must I do this? You applied for the job, not your boss. You applied for it so you do your job. Why do you become a nurse and you moan when you've got to do something for a patient? Shouldn't you be the angel that protect them? Isn't that why you became a nurse? If you are a receptionist at a job, do you know what you can? You are that company. I know in school, everybody always says the school secretary is the school. It's true. How are you as a secretary, as a receptionist? You applied for the job. Do the job. Don't moan about what you've got to do. If you married your husband, stop moaning at the things that you've got to do for him. You wanted to marry him, so honor him. God says you've got to honor him without even thinking about who he is or what he's doing. Husband, when you married your wife, you were very dearly in love with her. God says keep on loving her, irrespective of what she does. So people, please, let's remember this. Honor to God is very, very important. And honor your father and mother doesn't mean you've got to agree with them when they're wrong. But you can still honor them. I remember there was a young boy in our hostel once, and one evening he was in matric. He came into our flat and he sat down crying. He was weeping. He says, sir, I hate my mother. He says, I caught her in bed with another woman. He was weeping. He was broken. He says, sir, I hate her with a passion. And my husband said to him, you know what she did was so wrong, but she's still your mother. You know how hard it was for us to help that boy, but he survived, and we could lead him to Christ, to walk this road, and to still respect his mother as his mother, although she was doing wrong. Not easy, but God says, honor your parents. The next thing is, we may not murder. Now, I'm sure not anybody in this hall is a murderer, But you know what? If we really look at the Word of God, we are sometimes very close to that. Because God says, if you speak death over other people. My cousin is busy in a bad divorce. A bad divorce. And this guy is really doing so much harm. And often we as a family I sit with my brother and I just want to comfort him, and because he's so broken about his daughter's brokenness. And we're angry and we say things, and then God comes and he reminds us every time. You know what? I love this man, although he's doing so much wrong. You must pray for him. You must bring him to my throne. Because you know what? If you look at his life and you see where he comes from, the same thing happened to him through his parents. So don't accuse him. Pray for him. And God says, don't speak death over other people. Pray for them rather. Jesus knelt down next to a woman that was a baddie. And he forgave her. And he lifted her up and she became one of his followers. So let's really ask God to show us how to help people and not to speak death over their lives. Then the next thing is adultery. People, adultery is also speaks to me about faithfulness. How faithful are we towards one another? How faithful am I towards my friends, my family, my fellow church members? How faithful am I towards my church leaders, towards my bosses, towards whoever God's put me into a position to be faithful? That's also breaking trust. That's also breaking. So we really need to, do you know, this is what was so terrible in Adam and Eve when they did not trust God. They actually divorced him the moment that Eve listened to Satan when he says, are you sure this is what God says? You know what? We so easily do not trust God. And that's why I want to agree with you on Bible school. Go and do Bible school so that you can know what's legal ground. So that you can know what the Word of God says. So that you can trust God in spite of what you think he is doing or not doing. There's a song that Johanita du Plessis sings about Lazarus. And she sings the song about him dying and how his sister sat and Martha said, Lord, you were late. Why were you not here? If you were here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And then she sings this line and she says, his way is God's way, not yours or mine. God sometimes does things in ways you don't understand. When we retired, I thought, oh, we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to really enjoy. We're going to drive to places where we've never driven before. And, oh, I'm going to be involved with children in Kleinmond, and I'm going to lead them to Jesus. And nothing of that happened. I'm sitting at home. I can't leave my husband alone for 1 minute, because if he stands up on his own, he falls and he hurts himself. I can never leave my house unless there's somebody who knows how to handle him. And that was not what I planned for my retirement. But you know what? God has given me so much joy. While I'm nursing him, I'm there with him, the two of us just have wonderful time together. We just speak about the past and we remember the good things, and God sends some students from long ago coming to visit him. Some of them are 40 years old already, and they're coming to tell him, sir, you taught us to love God. We were rugby players and you used to say, if Jesus is not first, you can't be a good rugby player. They come and honor him for the love that he's given them. Yes, he punished them. But God is sending people to us to honor us. Somebody phoned me the other day and from London saying, you know, Mrs. Opperman, you taught me when I was in grade one. I'm now married and I have children. Thank you for what you taught me. Isn't that great? God is just blessing us with so much greatness. He's teaching us to sit at his feet and to worship him, and he's just pouring his love over us, and it's great that I don't feel like somebody in a jail at all, although that was not what I planned for myself. And I want to say to you, don't moan at the things God is doing in your life at the moment. Don't think, oh, I want to be this one, I want to do this for God. No, where you are now, God wants to use you. Are you willing? Why are you moaning about what you'd like it to be? Stop moaning about what you want to be. Start being what you are now in Jesus' name. And do it the way God wants you to do it. Then the next thing is about stealing. Now, if you badmouth other people, you are stealing from them. So you don't have to take their things. But if you badmouth people, you're stealing from them. If you do not tithe, you're stealing from God. If you don't pay properly for, like you were saying this morning, you rewarded that person, although he never wanted to be paid. But you rewarded that person. Yes, if God tells you to do something, do it. Don't steal the boss's time by going for a smoke break. You're stealing the time of the boss, and you're damaging your own lungs. So people, I'm telling you, don't do things in work time that you should have done at home. Don't make a phone call quickly. It's the boss's time, it's not your time. Then the next thing is false witnessing, lies. Satan is the father of lies. He loves it. Not even a small little lie to save your own yourself from getting into trouble. Speak the truth. But also, if somebody needs to be warned because they are doing wrong, and we keep quiet, we allow them to wander off. You know, if you watch a sheepdog taking care of the sheep, he runs around the sheep and he nips them and he pushes them back into to the group because he takes care of them. And if that sheepdog sees the sheep going astray and he's not going to bring it back, that sheep's going to wander off and is going to get into trouble. So if God's put us out as sheepdogs, you know what I know Fred long ago says, God, shofar is called as watchman. So if you are a member of Shofar, you're a watchman. And you've got to warn people if they do wrong. Not by going down on them, not being nasty, but ask God to give you wisdom. Pray about it and ask God to give you wisdom so that you will help people, so that you will be able to guide them and to lead them. Because if you don't, you are living a lie. Then the last thing I want to talk about is coveting. You know what the Bible says? You should be happy if you have clothes and food. Clothes and food. Not a fancy bike or a great car or a smart house. I'm not saying it's wrong to have it. But don't covet. If you do not have it, be happy with what you have. I have somebody working for me, and every time I'm taking her home, I'm crying. Because if I look at the little house she's living in, I say, God, how can a human being live in a place like that? But you know what? She's smiling, she's making a little garden, and she's doing nice little things for her house, and she's excited about it. It's her little house. And she's happy. She's not coveting. And she's a lovely Christian. She serves the Lord with joy. She's been an example to me. And she's made me feel just so happy with what I have because of her thankfulness for what God's doing in her life. So people, let's not covet. Then I just want us to remember that if we have these consequences in our life, if we have chaos if we have oppression from the evil one, if there's hardness in your heart, and you know that God is speaking to you this morning, you need to come to him and to really allow him to teach you. And I just want to close down with this, with the closing of doors. If God shows you something in your life that's wrong, that really is wrong in your life, people, yes, it's good to cry over it, but I don't know, God has given me a spirit of joy, and when he shows me things in my life, I'm glad. And then I know I can go and sit down and say, God, forgive me, I've done wrong now here, let's deal with it. Let's go and deal with these things now. Let's stop. Oh, about my past. Yes, it's good to look at the past, but clean it out now. Get over it. Let's work with it. Let's sit before God and let's say, God, this is something coming from my past and it's really keeping me back. I want to close this door now. I want to deal with it. And this is how we do it. The first thing is we confess the sin by name. Lord, I've done wrong. When I was a child, my mother was unfair to me. She did wrong, but sorry, Lord, I've become a rebellion. I've become a rebel. And I've rebelled against her. Although she was wrong, I shouldn't have rebelled. Lord, forgive me my sin of rebellion. And deal with that. Confess it and ask God to forgive you. The next thing is plead the blood of Jesus over you. Say, Lord, we don't realize the importance of the blood of Jesus over us. The next thing is anoint yourself or ask somebody to anoint you with oil and let the Holy Spirit fill your life. And then ask God to close the door. And say to Satan, Satan, you have no right in my life as far as rebellion is concerned, as far as anger is concerned, as far as whatever is wrong in your life. You have no right over this anymore. I'm closing this door. The blood of Jesus is over my life. And start walking in the freedom and give God legal ground in your life. Let's just close our eyes. Father God, as we sang this morning about your greatness, Father, as we watch the rainbow break over the rain, Father, and we see all these great things. Lord, we know that you are the Almighty One. Lord, if we look at the world with all the horrible things that's happening, people fighting in every country of this world, there's fighting and there's rebellion. But Father, if we look at your mighty power, when water comes rushing down and wash your houses away and we see your power being displayed, we know, Lord, that you are the great I am. You are the all-powerful one. You are the one who says, come to me and I will hold you under my wings. Lord, and you saying that you are like an eagle flying and you put us under your wing and we won't fall out because you put us in the pinnacle of your wing, in that little hole where the feather is hooked in. You put us there, Lord. So when you fly, we fly with you, Lord. And Lord, this morning I pray that every person in this church will experience the greatness of flying with you, being hooked under your wing and flying over every problem in their lives. Father God, because we know that if we have joy in spite of our problems, Satan becomes confused because he cannot understand that joy in spite of pain. Father, Satan does not work like that. And we want to confuse him, Lord. We want him to withdraw. So, Lord, we want to walk in your joy. I pray this morning, joy over this church, Lord. Pray joy over every member, the joy of being in your presence, in Jesus' name.